mountains, which have national parks and hiking and waterfalls. In front of us, we've got 17 different beaches to choose from if you like swimming and surfing. So it's a beautiful town, and the university is in the middle. The university itself has 32,000 students, and of those 32, 13,000 are international students from 170 different countries. So our university is set up for a very diverse and dynamic culture, and we really welcome people from all nations and cultures. It's fantastic.
It also sounds pretty similar to Vancouver's setup a little bit, so if folks wanted to come out, they wouldn't be really missing the nature or anything, which is really fantastic. Besides the scenery, what else can students enjoy there? Like, what are things that are like in the city happening to do?
Okay, so Wollongong is 1 hour on a train, 1.5 hours on the train to the centre of Sydney. So everything that you would want in a big city is at your doorstep. So we've got all the different Sydney Opera House, the Sydney Harbour Bridge, Bondi Beach. It's all there. All the shopping, all the culture, all the arts. They're all sitting there at our doorstep. Wollongong itself is a smaller town, so it's much smaller. It's a safer sort of, almost like a country style feel to it, but it still has a lot to offer. It's really set up to accommodate our students with free buses that move around the city, great accommodation options, and fantastic food options as well.
And I can imagine a lot cheaper, hey?
Yes, it's much cheaper. And we still get the really good bands coming down, so we have a really great scene on the actual campus, so lots of live music, lots of great fairs, festivals and market days as well. So it's fantastic.
It does really sound fantastic. I might just switch out of UBC right now. Did you study abroad at all?
My father moved around a lot for work, so yes, I did. I moved around, so I've lived in... I've lived in Papua New Guinea, Indonesia, Malaysia, Burma, and Australia. So I've moved around quite a lot, and I did. And it was an amazing experience because I got to meet people, so many different people. And it was more than just an education, I think. So it wasn't just the content that I was learning, but the context in which people put that content. And it actually made me appreciate how different cultures, different people will approach a situation or scenario. And I think that's a really valuable experience to have as we become more global and international in this world.
How does that fit into the medical kind of framework path that you've chosen?
Okay, so the medical framework is very exciting. So the reason I'm in Wollongong for our program is because we have a rural medicine program. And that's very similar to what you need in Canada. There's so many people crying out for medical practitioners in the rural communities. So the pathway I've chosen, because it's rural, it means we need to deal with a whole lot of different situations, people, a lot of those are unexpected and unpredictable. So the thing about the program that we have, it's a case-based program. So it's a postgraduate. So once you've completed your first degree, we don't care what it is. We don't care if it's law, creative arts, sciences, IT. So once you've completed that, what we're looking for is people who are really passionate about what they do, and if they can actually then step into a rural community and do everything. So you don't actually have all the specialists at your fingertips. They're at the end of the phone, but you can be delivering babies 1 minute, doing heart compressions the next, doing stitches. You just don't know what you're going to be facing, but you have to be able to face it all. And it's a really, really exciting experience to be able to do that. So our program sets up case-based learning so that you learn how to deal with those scenarios and deal with different people as you go through. And within the first couple of weeks, you're already placed in observing situations with general practitioners and in the hospitals, and you're doing exciting internship programs by your third year. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Thank you so much for speaking with me today. Good luck. I hope students are as taken as I am.
Thank you very much for your time, and have a great weekend.
Cool. Thank you so much for listening to CITR. We're going to be playing Gal Grayson's Blue Hearts in Exile. Stay tuned. Thanks again. Hello, thank you so much for tuning in to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from the unceded ancestral and traditional territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people here at the Study and Go Abroad Fair at the Vancouver Convention Center. I'm joined by Steve Chevalier from the Consulate General of Japan, just to speak about the programs that you're talking about. So do you mind just introducing yourself, what you do, what your capacity is, et cetera?
Okay. As you mentioned, my name is Steve Chevalier. I work at the Consulate General of Japan in Vancouver in the Culture and Information section. And I handle a lot of education-related functions or tasks in our office. So dealing with people who want to study in Japan or working holiday in Japan or the Japan Exchange and Teaching Program, otherwise known as the JET program.
Cool. So what are the three top things, if you could narrow it down, that people should know about the program and the work that you do at the consulate?
You want to know more about the programs or actually my job? Sorry.
Well, anything that you think that people should know.
Things that people should know. I guess especially for UBC students, just that there are a lot of opportunities to go and study in Japan. At different levels, whether it's at you wanted to go on an exchange program through Go Global, or we do offer Japan Studies scholarships as well as research student scholarships for postgraduates. We also have a working holiday visa opportunity, so if you are under 30 years of age, you can go and work in Japan for up to 12 months. And then the other program that we have is for graduates. So once you do get your bachelor's degree in any field, you can apply for the Japan Exchange and Teaching Program. So it's an opportunity to live and work in Japan either as an assistant English teacher or a coordinator for international relations. And they're all really good programs. So if you are interested in learning more about Japanese language or Japanese culture, they're all a really good way to go and do that.
Cool. Why do you think students would enjoy studying in Japan or in like engaging in that culture in any way?
It really does. I think for most people I've heard from anyways, they just enjoy the challenge and the personal growth that you do get from going and living and studying in a different country. You get to know not only about yourself, but about other people, of course, from those countries.
Where did you study yourself?
I've studied in Toronto, actually, at Ryerson University, doing the radio and television arts program. I guess what brought me to my current position was going on the Japan Exchange and Teaching Program and falling in love with the country and just wanting to involve myself in learning more about Japan, but also engaging other people in learning about Japan and in general about other cultures.
Where did you go in Japan?
I lived on a small island in southern Japan called Shodoshima, which is part of Kagawa Prefecture. And I was there for 2 years teaching in the junior high schools on that island.
That's so exciting. What besides like engaging in like, it sounds like falling in love with the country, what other values or experiences did you gain from this?
Being young and going to teach, I did gain a lot of patience, which you do tend to get when you work with children and youth, and even more so when you're dealing with a different culture and a different language. Beyond that, meeting a lot of friends, or making a lot of friends, not only with Japanese people, but with the JET program, there are 44 countries involved in the program. So you do meet other participants in the program. And even 20 years on, I'm still friends with a lot of those people.
That's so beautiful. Was there anything that you wanted to add that we didn't speak about, but you wanted people to know?
I guess just to reemphasize that there are really a lot of good opportunities to go and live and study or work in Japan. And if that's something that you're interested in doing, definitely looking into it, either going through Go Global at UBC or, of course, contacting the Consulate General of Japan, and we can help you out to decide which program might fit with you.
Cool. Thank you so much. Thank you for tuning into CITR 101.9 FM. We're going to be playing Wasteland by Hooded Fang off of their album Graves. Again, this is CITR 101.9 FM at the Study and Go Abroad Fair at the Convention Center in downtown Vancouver. Thanks. Thank you so much for tuning into CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from the unceded ancestral and traditional territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people here at the Convention Center at the Study and Go Abroad Fair in Vancouver. I'm joined by Elizabeth, representing Norway. We're going to be interviewing a bunch of folks and representatives from universities from all over the world. So do you mind just introducing yourself, like your job, your capacity, everything about you?
Oh, hi, my name is Elizabeth Løkke-Øvre. I'm the Vice Consul for Norway in Vancouver. I'm here at the fair representing Norway and promoting studying in Norway and the Youth Mobility Program. I could start with the Youth Mobility Program.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, which is a program that allows students to between 18 and 35 to work in Norway for a year. You basically have to have show that you have minimum of $4,000 on your bank account when you apply for the visa, but you don't need a job there, and you can apply for a job once you arrive in Norway. You apply through the Danish embassy, which gives all the visas to Norway here in Canada, and I think it's a fantastic program. I wish I could have done that. It's super.
What are other ways that students can, or like youth in general, can get out to Norway and experience the culture and everything?
Well, you can travel there. The University of Oslo has a summer program where you can study law, international affairs, petroleum law, or just the culture. You can also study the language, which is a great program. Involves a lot of traveling around Norway. You can also, as a Canadian, you can go to Norway and live there for 90 days without a visa, which is good to know. You still need a work permit to work, but it's a great country to travel in. Lots of great skiing, even in the summer. My son went there last summer, and he skied in northern Norway at 2 o'clock in the morning. Randonnée skiing. It was just really fantastic.
That sounds magical. You mentioned earlier that international students have free tuition?
Mm-hmm. To study in a state-run university, a Norwegian university, it's free for everybody, including international students. You pay a semester fee, which will cover student union fees and some medical fees at the university. It's a good deal. Some classes are taught in English, not all of them. You might have to learn some Norwegian once you get there. At the master's level and the PhD level, you are good to go with English. Most classes are taught in English.
Wow. Why do you think that? So I was at your booth earlier, and it was like stacked. There's such a large group kind of around there. What do you think it is about Norway that draws folks to it to want to travel and educate themselves there?
Well, it's the happiest country in the world, according to the statistic last year. So I think it's a clean country. People are well off. Most of them have gone through higher education. Beautiful scenery, great country to travel in. Other than that, it's fairly expensive. But if you get a job there, you get paid in Norwegian kroner, and you can afford to live there quite happily, I would say. Yeah.
What a utopia here in Vancouver. Did you study abroad at all?
Oh, yes. I studied for 3 years in France. I'm originally from Norway, so I spent 3 years in France studying French and political science, and I studied 1 year in Ottawa. And I've studied here in Vancouver, so yes, I encourage everybody to go out there and study abroad.
Why? What about it was so fantastic?
I think you learn the cultures, you learn languages. When you come back, it makes you think more about your own life and realize how lucky we are who live in a free country. I live in Canada, which is a fantastic country to live in. Also, you learn to respect and accept other cultures and other languages as well. And you become curious. I think that's what traveling and living and studying abroad has given me. And of course, I found my husband there, so that's good.
That's the moral. You will find a partner and you'll be so happy. Was there anything else that you wanted to speak about that we didn't touch on?
I think, yeah, because we win so many Olympic medals, skiing there is very good, and sports is great. There's a great outdoors life there, so yeah, come to Norway to study. Canada would really like you to go as well.
Yeah, I'm sold. No, thank you so much for joining. Thank you so much for listening to our cheeky interview. We're going to be playing All to All off of Forgiveness Rock Record by Broken Social Scene. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We are broadcasting live from the Study and Go Abroad Fair at the Vancouver Convention Center here downtown. So thanks for tuning in. See ya. We'll be right back. listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from the Study and Go Abroad Fair at the Vancouver Convention Center here in the city colonially known as Vancouver, broadcasting from the unceded ancestral and traditional territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people. I'm joined by Carrie from Study in Israel. do you mind just telling me about yourself, your occupation, what you do, what the program is?
Yeah, of course. So my name is Carrie. I work actually for the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, and I'm here today with our friends from Tel Aviv University. We are two of the largest universities in Israel, and so we're offering Canadian students and students from all over the world to study at our institutions. Absolutely everything is taught in English. Students can come for a year, a semester, or a summer program, and we have graduate one-year masters as well as two-year available for students as well.
Cool. What are do you mind just describing the program maybe a little more in detail, and then also like the three main things that people can take away from listening to this interview about what it is?
Absolutely. So what we offer is students to study abroad and to really, you know, have the opportunity to get outside of the classroom and learn from their surroundings. We're not going to bring you over to Jerusalem or Tel Aviv so you can sit in a lecture hall. You do that here anyway. So if you're studying religion, you're going to go to the three holiest sites in Jerusalem. If you're studying archaeology, you're going to go on a dig. If you're studying history, you're going to walk outside of your dorms and see the most unbelievable sites that you could possibly see there. So we offer our students this opportunity to sort of dig deeper. If you're a religious studies student here in Canada, you have great professors, the universities are amazing, but you're going to come and you're going to experience it. And I think that's really what sets us apart. We specialize, both institutions specialize in things that are really relevant to Israel and the wider Middle East. So history, like I said, archaeology, religion, conflict studies, things like that. So students can, in those fields, can join us and really get sort of a deeper look at the things that they're studying here. There are some really interesting facts about our program. So people don't know this, but Albert Einstein was the founding father of the Hebrew University. And actually, Hebrew owns the rights to his name and his work. So when you see his image or you see anything posted about him, Hebrew's getting paid. Which is kind of cool. And also, there's a lot of celebrity attention at Hebrew U that people don't know about. So when I was there, I studied Hebrew in the Barbra Streisand wing. You know, yeah. I mean, just, of course. One of the most popular cafes on campus is the Frank Sinatra Cafe, which is from the Sinatra family. It's hot food, not cold food, so it's very, very popular. But yeah, Hebrew U's super unique in that way. Actually, Natalie Portman did our program, the ones that we're here promoting today. Natalie Portman did the graduate program just a year or two before I studied there, which is kind of cool. And we're both located in two amazing, amazing cities. Tel Aviv is, you know, the New York of Israel. It's a city that never sleeps. It's incredible beaches, and the nightlife is truly insane. The food's amazing. Jerusalem has all the history, all the, you know, everything that you see on the news. That's where we are. And it's very nice to know that they're only 45 minutes apart. So you can get to and from very quickly. There's tons of bus services and all that.
I'm fully sold, yeah. did you study abroad at all?
Yeah, I did. So I did the one-year program in at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. I was a political science student and business and thought, you know, where could I go that I can sort of get an edge? I can learn something different. I can experience when I'm studying in a different way. A lot of my friends were starting to do study abroad, but none of them were picking Israel. And so I spoke to my university and said, you know, is this an option? They said, absolutely. I actually got a scholarship to go, and I did the full year in Jerusalem, which was amazing, because not only are you having those experiences where I can go to the Israeli parliament and intern there, or I can go to these incredible institutions and be a part of something bigger than, you know, just being here and going to my class and going home, you get to learn a new culture. There's the first language there is not English, although most people do speak English. So you're going from living a very, you know, regular, I go to the store, I can read what salt is, I can see that it's not sugar, I can figure out what's milk and what's not, to having to really learn a new way of surviving, on the other side of the planet. So, you know, just going to the grocery store is different. The way people board buses is different. The way people stand in lines is different. It's just so different from our culture here. So that's, you know, a huge part of when students study abroad, wherever they go, is that they're going to be integrating themselves into this culture that they haven't been a part of before, whether it's in the Middle East, whether it's in Israel, or if they're going to Europe, or if they're going to Australia, or wherever they end up. So that's a big takeaway that I got when I was studying abroad.
What is it like for non-Jewish students to be part of this program?
Absolutely. So that's super important to mention. You do not have to be Jewish at all to come on this program. Your politics and your religion, none of that really matters. We just want you to come and join us to study. Whatever your thoughts are, whatever your family's thoughts are, whatever your experiences are, we want you to come and have a balanced interpretation of what's going on. So we are fully behind all of our students and whatever they believe. The experience for non-Jewish students is actually really incredible. For our students who are Muslim, who come to our program, you can't go into the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock if you are not Muslim. So for them, when we go on the field trips there, they have the opportunity, and they can go on their own, of course, if they want, but it's built into our program. They can go see these incredible, incredible sites that other people can't see. And for our Christian students, to see the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, Via Dolorosa, it's an unbelievable, unbelievable experience. Some students will stay after. They'll go to Bethlehem. They'll go up to the Sea of Galilee in the north of Israel. And, you know, there's so many opportunities there for every religion. In Haifa, which is also in the north of Israel, there's the Baha'i Garden. So just incredible opportunities for everybody. And also for people who don't identify any which way, going to Jerusalem, it doesn't matter who you are. Going to Jerusalem, there's no other city like it. So you're going to have an experience. If you don't want a religious or a political or any type of experience like that, you're still going to have just an incredible, incredible journey in that city.
Yeah, this might be a little like off topic, but I have a professor right now who described Jerusalem as just like physical history, just like being there. He's not a particularly religious person, but being there, he just felt really like just a sense of like the past, which sounded really fascinating.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So that's why we say to our students of all backgrounds, you know, come and see it. Come see it for yourself. Also in Tel Aviv, there's, you know, Jerusalem's incredible because it's Jerusalem, but Tel Aviv has a lot of history too. And so, you know, you walk outside and you get to actually feel these old city walls, you know, that have been there forever. Not actually ever, but, you know, it's this ancient city. And you get to just, you know, you look outside of your dorm room. My dorm room overlooked the old city of Jerusalem, which is unbelievable. But you absolutely get this different experience. You're not going to a newer country. You're going to a country that's very dynamic, a lot of politics, a lot of issues, but it's still so beautiful and there's so much there. So he's totally right.
Was there anything, thank you so much for speaking to me, by the way. Was there anything that you wanted to touch on that we didn't speak about that you just wanted listeners to know about?
Yes, I want to tell everybody about our Office of Student Activities, which is unique to both the Hebrew University and Tel Aviv U. It is non-academic. It's a full department within the school that is non-academic. So if you've never been to Israel before, the people who make up this department, they are Hebrew University students or Tel Aviv University students who are studying at the regular schools. We're offering our international schools today. And they're bilingual. And they are your go-to people for everything. So if you want to know a cool restaurant to go to, if you want to know how to buy Madonna tickets, which is hard to do on a Hebrew website, you're going to talk to them. And it is their job to plan events throughout your semester, summer, or year where you go hiking. We offer a sea-to-sea hike from the Sea of Galilee to the Mediterranean Sea. It's a three-day hike. We're going to take you, one day they took them Israeli military-style paintballing, which I was not interested in doing whatsoever. I did not need those bruises. But, you know, just different opportunities for you to really immerse yourself in the culture and not just have an academic experience where you're going to class and coming home. We want you to understand where you are and have these incredible experiences. So they're going to plan Sabbath dinners, Jewish or not. Everyone's welcome to come to have that experience. We'll take you up to gorgeous places in the north of Israel. We'll take you down to Eilat, the Red Sea, which is it borders with Egypt. It has the second most diverse aquatic life after the coral reef. So if you go snorkeling there, you're going to see Nemo, Dory, flounder, everyone's there. And so we just offer this exciting additional component that is external to academics. We want you to be able to really immerse yourself in the culture and not just have this kind of one-track experience. So the Office of Student Activities is a super important part of what we offer.
Cool. That sounds great. Thank you so much for speaking to me today again.
Thank you so much. It was great to chat with you.
You're welcome. Again, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We are broadcasting the Study and Go Abroad Fair from the McAveer Convention Center. We're going to play a song. We're going to keep playing the song that we've been playing. So have a great day. Thanks for tuning in.
Hello, you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the Vancouver Convention Center for the Study and Go Abroad Fair. My name's Madeline, and I am joined by Mir Hussein. And can you tell me just which institution you're representing today?
Sure. We're representing Avalon University School of Medicine, based on Curaçao Island. We're a Caribbean med school.
Fantastic. So who do you think is like the ideal student that you have in mind to come to the university? Who are you really trying to recruit?
Sure. So we have the capacity to actually engage with those that are finishing up their high school. That would be more for their five-year pre-med program. Also for those that have conquered their prerequisite coursework, which would be they would align with our four-year MD. So both markets are big for us.
Cool. What are the top three things that you think people should know about your program?
We definitely are looking to acquire a minimum of a 3.0 GPA. We do look for so many outside, you know, curriculum or schoolwork that they've done, or any volunteer work that would be a big help for them. Those are some of the big factors. And we also look for is how the interview process goes for the applicant. If those are a go, then hey, we give you a chance.
Fantastic. So that sounds like what you're looking for from students. Why should students be interested in your program?
You can't beat the island life.
Yeah, so
basically the climate's always like summer, beautiful, 80, 90 degrees all year round. You do have the capacity to also learn, you know, a lot out there culture-wise. There's scuba diving. I mean, there's so much more outside of the school, and I think that's our big thing, you know, not being so housed and enclosed atmosphere.
So it's based out of Curaçao. So what is, like, the city life like? What are things that people can engage with when they're not focusing on their studies?
So we have, like... you can say snorkeling, scuba diving events. We have a lot of outside activities, such as Avalon does. Is every so often we do offer back to the community there, so our students get engaged with offering some like little stuff with checking their, you know, vitals and whatnot. And, you know, providing some free aid as a volunteer to the community.
Very cool. Did you study abroad yourself? Is this an experience that you've had?
I personally have not studied abroad, but the interest of me to join was to see something outside of the usual and the norm. You know, having to go the opportunity, having to go to the island, and you come back and finish your schooling here with your rotation. So you're there for a time being, not always all there, but you do have that one time to say, hey, I've been to the island, you know.
Would you say that students who become part of your program at Avalon University, do they have more hands-on experience or more opportunities for hands-on experience that you would at other universities?
Sure, absolutely. First and foremost, we start off with the classroom site setting, and then you are doing where you are getting a hands-on, typically. And when you do transition into your clinical sciences, that is exactly when you do the hands-on, because you're in a hospital-type atmosphere. You're doing all of the different specialties that you can, you know, acquire that we offer. So you get a feel for all of those. And it's a green book hospitals where they're teaching hospitals. Yes, so definitely a hands-on experience comes at the latter half of your education before you graduate.
Do you find that students who are part of this program, do they come back to the island? Do they kind of like catch the bug and they just need to be there for the rest of their lives? Or do you find that they go back to where they came from?
They do go back to where they came from, because ultimately they do want to practice back home, be it with their residency. Yeah, for the most part, they end up coming back home.
Yeah.
All right. Well, is there anything final that you want to add that people should know about the program?
Well, I would encourage that, you know, check our website at www.avalonu.org. We have a lot of information. If need be, we are also available for chat. We do have a Monday through Friday chat feature available. Today we have a seminar at 3. I would encourage for those that are here present to please stop on out. We do have that at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Besides that, if those that are wanting to come by the table, the booth, I personally will be there as well.
Thank you so much for your time today. It was great to chat with you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Okay, awesome. So you've just heard an interview with Mir Hussein, who is representing the Avalon University School of Medicine in Curaçao. And right now we are going to play the rest of a song called Agua by Lito Pimienta. And stay tuned for more interviews and music here on CITR 101.9 FM. You just heard Lemon Glow by Beach House here on CITR 101.9 FM, still broadcasting from the Vancouver Convention Center for the Study and Go Abroad Fair. We're going to be here until 3 p.m. with live interviews from folks who are representing different institutions from around the world. My name is Madeline, and I'm joined right now by David Kenny. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm pretty well. How about yourself?
Oh, great. Thank you. Delighted to be here.
Lovely. Could you tell me which institution you represent and what maybe is one excellent thing that you want people to know right off the top?
Yeah, so I'm from Trinity College Dublin. I'm the law school there. And one excellent thing, I guess, about our university is that we're right in the heart of Dublin City, which is just an amazing student town. And so all of our students have, you know, the fantastic ability to just get immersed in the life of the city as well as have a great educational experience. So we're here to tell people about that, I guess.
What is it about Dublin that makes it such a great city for students in particular?
So it's just such a lively place. There's always so much going on. There's just gigs and festivals and so much culture and art. And it's also just, you know, so conveniently located for traveling all around Europe. So our students who come to visit for a semester or a year or who come to study full programs with us, they can, you know, see all of Europe while they're there. They can head out to Dublin Airport and be anywhere in Europe in a couple of hours. And so it's an amazing place as a gateway to the whole continent, I think, as well.
So the University of Trinity College, which programs do you have on offer for international students?
So the university has, you know, great opportunities for people in really any discipline, and people can come and do a semester abroad as part of their degree. I'm from the law school, so in particular we have undergraduate and master's law programs, which a lot of international students come and do, and that gives them an opportunity to either do a sort of a full law degree, which could let them practice in Europe, or they could try and bring it back to Canada and convert it into something that would allow them to practice law here. Or students come over and maybe do a master's program just to get some more knowledge, learn about European legal systems, things like that. And we get a lot of exchange students too, people who just want to, in the middle of their degree, come and live in Dublin and, you know, do a wide variety of courses. So students who come over on exchange from any program can take courses across the university and find it very fun to do a lot of different things when they're over there.
Do you find that for the most part folks are looking to go back to Canada in particular, or do they tend to stay and really try to get into some area of the European market for law?
Yeah, so I find that people come over thinking that they're not sure, but they'll probably come home, and then a lot of people stay. I think people can really enjoy living in London and Dublin and Paris, and if you kind of start enjoying that lifestyle and it's just easy to continue on, I think it's very tempting for people to stay on for a few years anyway. So my experience is that I'd say it's probably about 50-50, people coming back versus staying, but a lot of the people that end up staying didn't know they were going to do that when they came over.
Yeah, I can see that people would fall in love with the city. I myself was in Dublin a couple of years ago, and it was tempting to stay longer than I had my time booked there, for sure. Where did you yourself study?
So I actually studied my undergraduate degree in Trinity in Dublin, and then I did my master's degree in the United States, and I then continued to study, did a doctorate in law back in Dublin again, but my doctorate was in comparative law with Canada. So I spent a lot of time over here and did a lot of work on the Canadian Constitution, and I think one of the best things about study is it exposes you to places and traditions that you're not used to, and you start understanding a little bit how people think in countries that, you know, you didn't understand before, and you come to know those places in a new way. So I think the best thing about education for me, both in terms of my own study and working as a professor, is just that it exposes you to so many different bodies of knowledge, and it's just really exciting in that.
Would you say that that gives people a bit of an edge over, in terms of especially practicing law, does that give people an edge over people who only study and then practice in one country in particular?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that more and more, you can't just know the law of one place. I mean, either because almost all businesses operate across borders, or international law becomes more important and international cooperation becomes more central all the time. So I think people are figuring out that It's not like the old days where you could just study the law of your country and that was it. Even if you never plan to leave, you're going to encounter so many other cultures and legal systems. You have to know something about everywhere. And so I think we're trying to work that more and more into education and try and make sure our programs aren't just for Irish students who want to study Irish law. They're for all sorts of people who have all sorts of different aspirations, and we can try and give everyone a little bit of what they want in that.
Okay, let's say I'm a Canadian student and I'm in my first couple of weeks in Dublin studying at Trinity University. What are a couple of things from your perspective as a local that I should focus on and engage with to kind of get a feel for the city?
Yeah, well, I think that first of all, you have to figure out Irish drinking culture, so that's very important. You have to, you know, figure out Irish nightlife. You have to figure out that you really can't say no to any social invitation. There's no good reason to turn down an invitation to go out. So that takes some getting used to for people. You have to realize that Irish people never show up on time to anything. So when people give you a time, you need to take that very flexibly. And then I think you have to, you know, go out and meet people, because Irish people are, you know, it's a cliche that Irish people are really friendly, but we are. And we really like meeting new people, and we love when visitors get out and enjoy the culture of the city. So I just say to people visiting Dublin, do as much as you can, go to as many places as you can, and meet people that you never expected to meet, and you'll end up doing some really random things that you'll end up loving. I was talking to a guy, a student of mine at Trinity at the moment, who has really gotten into Irish traditional music, and he's now singing at Irish traditional music nights when he had never sung before in his life. So that's what happens. You go to a place, you get caught up in something, and you have no idea where it'll take you.
That's really lovely. That's sort of an exciting picture to paint for folks who might be wanting to explore more. Is there anything that we didn't touch on that you think people should know before we finish up here?
I don't think so. No, it was great to talk to you, and I hope that people will consider visiting in Dublin, and you know, if they ever decide that they want a really sort of fun and you know, European experience that still has some feeling of home, because we relate a lot to Canada, then I think it's a good place for people to consider.
Lovely, David, thank you so much. We'll be back with more interviews in a few minutes, and right now we're going to carry on with some more music. This is Beach House again with Lemon Glow.
Thank you.
broadcasting live from the Vancouver Convention Center for the Study and Go Abroad Fair. My name is Madeline, and I am joined today by...
My name is Ying Qiu. I'm the director of Asia Center from Hofstra University, located in Long Island, New York.
In the U.S., yeah, awesome. Well, it's great to have you here. Thank you for taking the time out to come chat with us. What are the top three things that you think international students should know about Hofstra University in New York that would make them want to go?
Okay, I think number one definitely is the location. We are only 35 minutes away from downtown Manhattan, but at the same time, we have a very, very beautiful campus in Long Island. That's number one. Number two, we are offering over 160 different undergraduate and also 170 different graduate programs. We are offering a lot of scholarships for international students if they are submitting SAT or ACT. So, which means international students can afford definitely to study in New York area. And then number three, we have a very, very high job placement rate, 99%.
That's fantastic. How do you manage such a high job placement rate?
We have a lot of built-in internship for our programs. And also because we are in New York area, where is I think it's like a center of the world, like job opportunities. We have so many Hofstra alums who are already working in the tri-state area in New York. They are helping our students find a lot of jobs. Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. So what do you think, what's different about Long Island versus Manhattan? Because I think a lot of people, when they imagine New York, they're thinking Manhattan. So what's the appeal of Long Island in your opinion?
Mm-hmm. You see, if the student decides to go to study in Manhattan, literally you don't see campus. It's such a busy, you know, an expensive place. But Long Island is within like 30 to 40 minutes train or by driving there. You have a very beautiful campus there. Basically, I think you are taking advantage of campus life as well as the job opportunity or internship opportunities in Manhattan. Yeah.
Do most students live on campus on Long Island, or do they tend to access housing all over the place?
Yeah. At Hofstra, we do offer housing for international students and also domestic students. Literally, we can accommodate up to 6,000 students on campus. At the same time, we do have commuters who are literally living outside of campus. So we have different options for students to take. Mm-hmm.
Did you yourself study abroad when you were going through university?
Yeah, we do have a very powerful study abroad office. We have so many different study abroad options in Europe, in Asia, in South America, in North America. We also offer a lot of semester-length exchange student programs.
That's awesome. And for you personally, did you have any experience studying abroad, or did you study where you were born?
I was born, originally born, grew up in China, and I have been studying and working, living abroad for close to 20 years. So I have experience in England and also Thailand and also United States, as well as China, of course.
What do you find so enriching about studying in a country that's different from where you grew up?
I think it's very, very valuable experience, and you were literally exposed to a different culture, different language, and also literally you are challenging yourself and then stepping out of the comfortable zone, and literally after the study abroad experience, you will become a better human being, I think, more capable person.
Absolutely, because you're forced to find your feet in all of these different contexts that are unfamiliar. Because I know it can be a bit of an intimidating experience for some students to think about moving away from home when they're still very young. So what kinds of programs and options for engagement do you have to help students with that transition? Mm-hmm.
We have a couple offices. Because we are a private university, the focus, the center of our university is students, in particular international students. We do have an international student affairs office. They can help the student on a daily basis for immigration, visa issue, for help, and also we have a center for student advising. They can help students to register for different classes, and also each single student will have an admission counselor and also a financial counselor and a program director. They are helping them from different angles. So I fully understand international students will have maybe culture shock or transition, challenging time for them, but we do have people on campus to help them from during different phases of their time overseas.
Fantastic. Is there anything additional that you'd like to add before we sign off here that you think people should know that would make them want to come to your university?
Yeah, I just want to mention that Hofstra University was established in 1935, and we are the only university who had successfully hosted American presidential debate for 3 times. We are the only one.
Well, that's a really cool factoid. Yes. Do you anticipate that the same thing will be happening in 2020?
Hopefully we will be the one, next one. Thank you.
Any predictions for who the other candidate's going to be besides Trump?
I have no idea. Sorry.
No worries, no worries. Thank you so much for speaking with us today, and enjoy the rest of the fair today. Thank you. Hello, we are broadcasting once again live from the Study and Go Abroad Fair at the Vancouver Convention Center in downtown Vancouver. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM. And right now I am joined by Danny Hodorowski. And can you tell me which institution you represent?
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm from the Chicago School of Professional Psychology.
Okay, so what is that? What does that mean?
Good question. So we're a professional school located in Chicago, Southern Los Angeles, Irvine, which is also in California, and Washington, D.C. And so we offer master's programs and above. So if you're interested after your UBC career, so to speak, then come feel free to join us.
So anyone with a bachelor's degree in psychology can apply, or can you come from many different disciplines?
Yeah, good question. So we want people to come in, you know, understanding a little bit of psychology, but say you didn't study psychology before, then we want you to come into the classroom because you're going to offer so much more, you know, coming from maybe finance or economics or something like that. So we want you to come into the classroom with different experiences.
So what would you say are the top three things that you really want people to know about the Chicago School of Professional Psychology that make it stand apart from other institutions that may teach similar things?
Yeah, good question as well. So we really want students to get out in the community. So we're a teaching university. So we want you to get out into the community. So we like to serve underprivileged and underserved communities. We want you to, of course, study abroad. Even if you're a Canadian, coming to the U.S. feels like studying abroad. But we also want to send you out to different places. Like, we just sent a lot of students out to Germany to go study with Syrian refugees and to help them through, you know, their crises. So there's so many different options and so many different avenues in psychology. It really permeates everything that you do.
So you're based specifically out of Chicago. What is it about Chicago as a city that you think makes it an appealing place to be a graduate student?
That's a good question. So Chicago was actually just rated as the top U.S. city to attend and to go to, just in general, not even just for graduate school, but we have so many different theaters. The arts are great there. Whatever you're looking for, Chicago definitely offers to you. So it's a global city. So if you want to be a global citizen, then come through to us.
And especially coming from somewhere like Vancouver, which is, I think we're maybe the second most expensive city in Canada besides Toronto, but not by very much. How does Chicago compare in terms of being able to actually afford to live?
Yeah, also a good question. So I'd say comparatively to Los Angeles or other large cities that you have in the U.S., Chicago is pretty affordable. We have so many different little neighborhoods that you can go to, and those are really different. So we have like Pilsen in the south side, and then maybe Lakeview on the north side, which are two totally different worlds. So we want you to kind of permeate to both of those, and they're both really affordable for students.
How do you find that students are able to move on past their experience with the school? Do they gain access to internships and those sorts of things pretty easily?
Yeah, so most of the programs that we offer have that internship and that field experience component to it, because we want you to take what you're learning in the classroom and apply it to the field and vice versa. So what you're learning in the field, you know, you're going to bring back into the classroom, and likewise with the professors. So when they're not teaching, they're actually out in the field doing their work as well.
That's fantastic. For you personally, did you study abroad or did you stay in the same country or city that you were from originally?
Sure. So I'm from Washington, D.C. area originally and moved to Chicago. But when I was an undergrad, I studied in Russia. So I studied Russian literature and language. So I really wanted to get out there. So I did that as an undergrad. And I'd say it's beneficial not only for undergrads, but for graduate students as well. So get out there, go explore the world. It's so big and so little time to see everything.
What kind of perspective did you find that going somewhere like Russia, especially coming from the U.S., given the history between those two countries, what kind of perspective change did you experience?
Yeah, so I'd say in general, you know, there are a lot of misconceptions between places that you would go, but a lot of people that you meet abroad are very similar to you. So I would say, you know, kind of quash that misconception off the bat and say that a lot of people that you're going to meet are going to be going through the same exact things as you, wherever they are in the world.
Is there anything final you want to add before we wrap up here, Danny?
I'd like to say thank you. And we're always in BC or Toronto. So if you're coming, you know, through to the US, come see us in Los Angeles, Chicago, Washington, DC, and we can also help you online. So thank you.
Fantastic. Thanks so much. And we're just going to head back to some music here before we finish up at the Study and Go Abroad Fair, broadcasting live from the Convention Center in the heart of downtown Vancouver.